If I practice with you in my backyard for 1 week, throwing the same blue ball at you, by the end of that week, you will be able to catch the blue ball because
Okay.
I've practiced that with you. Or I can say, she can't catch the blue ball. Is it because of her visual tracking? Is it because of her balance? Is it because of her eye-hand coordination? Is it because of her motor?
Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
This episode is brought to you by the World Association of Sand Therapy Professionals. WASTP was created to support the integrity and ethical practice of sand therapy and to support greater access to sand therapy training throughout the world. It honors the use of sand therapy from a diverse variety of clinical theoretical orientations. You can learn more about the World Association of Sand Therapy Professionals at www.worldsandtherapy.com.
Hi there. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. I'm super excited to bring this conversation to you today. I am with Joy Newman. She is a co-author of In Sync Child Books with Carol Cranuitz. So we'll learn more about her a little bit later, but I have had just the best time. I'm up in Arlington, Virginia, and I actually found out I'm in Maryland. Last night I came to Joy's house, and her husband picked me up from the airport, and we just had a wonderful time. We went out to eat, and just so caring and so kind. And we were talking this morning, and we were talking about something that I really don't know a lot about, primitive reflexes. Super interesting, and Joy has a lot of knowledge. So let me have you just, before we even get started on the conversation, I'm going to have you listen to Joy just describe herself. So Joy, if you could, first of all, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for letting me be here. If you could just kind of tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Joy Newman, and my background is in perceptual motor theory and movement therapy. And with Carol Cranuitz, we are now the In Sync Child. She is pretty world-renowned, I think, as an expert in sensory processing. And together, we meld our ideas that people who are comfortable in their bodies have more success in almost everything they do. They feel safer, they're able to succeed, they're able to try, and it doesn't always come naturally to be comfortable in one's body for a variety of reasons. And now in this day and age with all the technology, it's even less, I would say, less natural for children to grow up feeling comfortable in their bodies because they just use them less than they used to. Would you agree, Jackie?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, especially during the pandemic, a lot of sedentary pieces too, like where people are kind of stuck in the same spot. And then we start to notice what sometimes is coined as like behavior problems. It's a lot of that kind of undispensed energy.
It is. And it even without the pandemic, the more time you spend on a screen, the less time you're moving anything but basically your thumbs, right?
Yes.
Or your fingers. So children just don't have the opportunity to move. And I was born in the last millennium, but we did have electricity then and things like indoor plumbing, but we didn't have remote controls and we didn't have a lot of the stuff that we have now. So people my age spent a lot of time outdoors and they spent a lot of time riding their bikes and rolling down hills and walking places, and that just doesn't happen anymore in most places in this country, certainly in urban and suburban places it doesn't. So the more technology moves into our world, the more we as parents and caregivers have to pay attention to providing opportunities for children to move. Mm-hmm. And if they're given the right opportunities, they'll develop on their own. We don't have to teach them how to crawl. We don't teach them how to walk, but we do need to give them the opportunity to learn themselves.
Yeah.
And so all of the stuff that Carol and I do under the Instinct Child name is about finding fun ways to introduce your children to their own bodies mm-hmm. and to get them moving into their bodies. And also we want to help parents and caregivers understand that it's not rocket science. It's not, even though we call it a method, it's not really something new. We haven't reinvented the wheel. We're kind of retro in that we don't have to work hard to do it. We just have to pay attention. And it gets us moving too, which probably makes us feel better.
I know last night your wonderful husband brought us some mint chocolate chip ice cream with some
with chocolate syrup.
Oh, chocolate syrup and walnuts. But you were showing me pictures of your grandchildren.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the pictures, they're beautiful. And they're moving. The one picture of your granddaughter is like laying on the couch, but then she's reading on the floor. And
upside down.
Yeah, right? They're just moving and they're getting out there and enjoying nature. You even told me about like a preschool that's in nature around here.
Yes, we started a preschool we have three granddaughters, and we started a preschool, an outdoor preschool for our middle granddaughter when she turned three. And they're outside every single day, rain, snow.
Oh.
I don't think sleet or hail, but certainly rain or snow doesn't keep them freezing cold. They just, you just dress for, you know, there is no bad weather as long as you dress for the weather you're in. So in this outdoor preschool, they're doing things to increase proprioception. Do our listeners understand proprioception?
No, if you could tell us about proprioception.
Okay, so proprioception is a sensory, an area of sensory processing that has to do with getting information through your muscles and your joints. So somebody with proprioceptive issues would have trouble knowing how to pick up a heavy glass, for instance. Or sometimes you see kids that push open a door, and rather than keep their arms straight to push it, their arms kind of bend at the elbow.
Oh,
they don't
okay.
really get that. A way to check proprioception is to put your palm against someone else's palm and mm-hmm. push against it. And if the person you're pushing against it, if you can feel that push, their proprioception is there.
Oh,
another
okay.
proprioception thing might be if you hold a boot and say to the child, push your foot in, and he doesn't understand what that means. That's proprioception.
Okay.
Proprioception would be the child that squeezes the kitten practically to death because he doesn't understand how loose. Or it would be the child that gets touched by another child and breaks down because he feels like he was beat up. Or the child that hits too hard and doesn't understand why the person he hit is crying, because to him, he just touched. So it's a question of being able to gradate your movements because of the information you're getting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So just as an aside, the place where developing children spend a lot of time developing proprioception is when they're crawling on their hands and knees.
Okay.
Because they're getting the information through their hands, all the way up to their elbows, to their shoulders, to their knees, to their ankles, to their hips.
Mm-hmm.
And that's proprioception.
So that early, childhood crawling, I think there's like a lot of walkers available.
Oh, don't use walkers if you can help it.
So that skips that stage of the crawling.
Right,
and the crawling
is so important. And if you have an older child, or if you have trouble with proprioception, and you're not too embarrassed, crawl around your house on your hands and knees.
Oh, even later on in
life,
so you can go back, circle
sure.
back.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
And is that part of oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That's like part of the neuroplasticity where you can go back and circle back and it could heal even if you're, even if you're until you die, right?
Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible. Okay, so before we started recording, we talked about primitive reflexes, and I had never heard that phrase. And we did talk about, I'm from the mental health field, and you're from occupational therapy. And
I'm not an occupational therapist, but
from the moving.
Moving. So
what was the name of your company? You showed me your building yesterday. The
Kids Moving Company?
Kids Moving
yeah.
Company.
So for many, many, many years, I was blessed to have a company called Kids Moving Company. We had a studio in downtown Bethesda. We had gifted people working with us. We had small movement classes, 10 kids and two teachers for 45 minutes. And they would do things like obstacle courses and bounce on a full-size trampoline.
I love that.
It was very open. Show me your way to, it was never do it this way. It was only show me your way to move across the room on two parts of your body, or show me your way to. And we also had teachers that went into preschools, private preschools and government daycare centers and things like that. And then I used the studio 3 days a week for private therapy.
And that's how you met Carol Kraniewicz, right?
That's how I met Carol. So Carol and I, interestingly enough, went to GW 20 years apart and got the same exact degree. We both have a master's of arts in education and human development.
Wow.
And this is even more interesting. We each had to do a senior project or whatever you call it. Not a thesis really, but a project.
Same kind of vibe, right.
Hers became The Out of Sync Child, the book that's now just came out, its third edition.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And she has new information in that too, stuff that we've learned together or that we've taught each other or that we've brainstormed together with. And mine was, I had this fantasy that I would take over an old elementary school, and in the morning I would have movement classes, and in the afternoon I would do therapy, and a kids' moving company became that. So Carol and I have been absolutely blessed to love what we do. We love what we do. We see development the exact same way. We finish each other's sentences, and
I love it.
And we understand, you know, we'll go out for a walk on the river and we'll see a kid splashing in a puddle and we will be delighted. And on the other hand, we'll see a parent holding a child and carrying him and we're thinking, put that child down, he can walk, you know, or give that child back her backpack. She can carry it herself.
Yeah.
And we, without even thinking how we limit the kinds of opportunities we give our kids, that's not placing blame. It's just, I think, human nature.
We just,
sometimes what we think we're making things easier for our children now is actually going to make things harder for them in the future.
Oh, goodness. That's so good. That's a quotable right there. And I think about even last night you were talking about how amazing your daughter-in-law is, about how she allows your grandkids to just live and experience life.
She does. I have to say that our older son and his perfect wife have given us three delicious granddaughters who could not be more different in their personalities and their needs. And when they were first pregnant, I said, you've got to let your kids do it themselves. They've got to learn how to do it themselves. They've got to learn how to roll over by themselves. They've got to learn how to climb in the car seat by themselves. They've got to learn to dress themselves. Doesn't matter if the clothes don't match. Doesn't matter if it takes an extra 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they did it. And they let their kids climb into the cars. And these kids are great kids.
Oh, gosh, that's, I think about the cognition that goes with it. Is I can do it, I can do hard things,
I can do it. Right. And our middle granddaughter, for whom we started this private preschool, she has transformed. She has absolutely transformed. The teacher we found to be the head teacher and the director of the small preschool is just brilliant, and she brought in these huge boulders and like flat boulders, and the kids have learned how to pull these boulders up to see the worms that are underneath.
Oh.
And that's all about, you know, if you were in an OT therapy session, you would have to work for years to get that kind of proprioceptive input. But
that's their nature.
Just learned how to do it. It's we have to move more.
Yeah.
We really have to.
Yeah, the movement and the nature. I know I just had the opportunity to write a chapter in Dr. Janet Courtney's book. It's with Jamie Lynn Langley and Lisa Dion, all about nature-based play therapy. Now, primitive reflexes. Last night we were talking to this just wonderful man who just had a baby at the restaurant.
Yes.
And he just was so excited, so happy about this new child in his life. And then he was describing the birth process. And then I shared with you, Joy, that I had had C-sections with my kids. So this morning, of course, before we were recording, we were talking about C-sections. And it turns out that there's some things that children experience, or, you know, not just children, across a lifespan, people experience with that have had certain things happen to them, such as C-sections, that have symptoms that we may not even link together that are actually kind of healable. I don't know if that's the word. But primitive reflexes. Can you kind of just tell us what that is? And then
sure.
You have a story that goes with it that's super cool.
I have thousands of
stories. Oh, you do?
Okay, so everybody is designed to develop certain reflexes. Primitive reflexes, they develop in utero, they develop in the birth process, they develop in the first days and weeks of life. And they're primarily for the safety of the fetus and then of the neonate and then of the infant.
Yeah.
And ideally, these reflexes either transform into the adult form of the reflex, or they integrate and disappear. And for a lot of reasons, many of us retain certain primitive reflexes, and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
But there is a brilliant woman named Svetlana Maskutova, Maskutova, T-O-V-A, I think. She was a pediatrician or is a pediatrician and also, you okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm just checking.
Okay, so she's a pediatrician and has a lot of PhDs. Anyway, she has done a lot of research into these retained primitive reflexes, and I started to study with her. And I found that for decades, I had been doing certain things in my therapy that I knew worked. If I saw one behavior, I knew to do this, and it worked.
Oh, just intuitively.
You build up history. You know what works, right? And once I started studying these primitive reflexes, I realized why it worked. Yeah. It was kind of like the aha moment I got by talking with Carol. Oh, that's why the trampoline works. Of course, it's all developing proprioception every time you jump. And
see, that's the power of consultation, but you guys were doing it.
Aha.
Yeah.
It's those aha moments. I love them. And I hope people listening to this will have a few aha moments.
Yes.
So primitive reflexes. So Jackie and I were talking about a primitive reflex, a very basic one called the bonding reflex. And that happens in the first 3 minutes of birth. Mm-hmm. And ideally, the newly born neonate comes out of the birth canal and is placed on the mother's chest.
Yeah.
And if this is kind of a little aside, if you place the baby on the mother's tummy, that baby will crawl up to the breast.
Oh, even newborn.
Yeah, a newborn. It's a reflex.
Oh.
Okay. So in the event that either the birth process is not vaginal.
Yeah.
Or so if it's a C-section or if it's a forceps birth or if it's any kind of traumatic birth.
So that's like forceps or the tongs where that kind of pulls the head.
Yeah, I don't even know if they still do that. I'm 70, so 70 years ago they did it.
Okay.
So they did it on me, but I don't even know.
I've seen pictures of it, but yeah, that sounds kind of forceful.
It was trauma. Not that I remember it, but as I learn more about trauma, I realize that was probably a trauma.
So something that impedes that natural through the birth canal process.
Correct. Well, there's two different things. We'll talk about that birth process. And anytime the baby's not put on the mother immediately, so anytime the baby is whisked away.
Yeah.
He or she does not have the opportunity to develop the bonding reflex. And without the bonding reflex, you tend to have a lot of anxiety. You tend to not understand where you are in the world. You can't kind of separate yourself from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Frequently there are mother-child difficulties in relationships. Yeah. There's a whole slew of things that can happen from that.
Yeah, and it makes me think about attachment early on.
I think I was saying to you earlier, I think there's a lot of a lot of we practitioners do the same stuff and call it different things, but it's all based on the same stuff, right?
Absolutely.
It's all based about feeling safe.
Just different language around it.
Feeling safe, feeling secure. Mm-hmm. My and personal connected. Feeling is that you come from the mental health, I come from the motor. My feeling is that if you're not comfortable in your body, you can't feel safe.
Oh, okay, so that, we were talking about polyvagal theory, we need to feel safe three ways, in our body, in our relationship, and in our environment. I think about the primitive reflexes in the environment, you know, if you don't go through that natural process, even especially if there's forceps, that piece, and then in your body, if that's not feeling safe, and then that affects the relationships, that could really influence how somebody shows up in the world.
Absolutely. That's why, Carol, that is our main reason for living, Carol, is to get these children in sync. And to us,
your life meaning.
In sync children are children that feel good in their bodies.
Yeah.
And then we don't claim to be mental health professionals. And if there is an issue that needs a mental health professional, then please go there. But we don't believe that. You can't say never, but it's extraordinarily rare for someone to feel safe and secure if they're not comfortable in their body.
And I don't think all therapy is therapy. Therapy is like human life, like that preschool where they're looking for worms underneath the rocks.
That's right.
Where they're crawling up to their mom's chest and looking for the milk.
That's right.
That's up the mental health piece. That's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So the kind of impeding that process, not going through the birth canal, whether it's a C-section, forceps, or whatever's different about it, what would we notice if, like, either, you know, ourselves, our family, or clients, you know, for practitioners or educators listening?
Okay, so there's a reflex that happens when you work through the birth canal. And if you think about a baby working through the birth canal, the head goes backward, right?
Okay.
Behind the vertical midline, and then it goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you've retained that reflex, and I have retained that reflex as a forceps baby. So when I look, if I stand up and look backwards, I can get a little dizzy. I tend to have a lot of motion sickness.
Oh, okay.
I have trouble with direction. These are pretty common things that you would find. I have some ADD, but I don't know whether that's part of that. I'm not exactly certain if that's part of that. But
you're talking about the trouble
swimming.
Squirrel reflex. Squirrel.
Yes,
I got
squirrel.
That. Yeah, that too.
You would have trouble swimming because they can't keep their heads flat. Okay, so putting your head in the water, that might be an issue of that.
Where does toe walking fall in on all that?
Well, toe walking frequently just has to do with tightness of the Achilles tendon, And it's not always an issue, but it can be indicative of issues.
So that wouldn't be considered a primitive reflex?
I don't think so. I'm not an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination. I know enough about it to know that it's real.
Yeah.
And that it can be extraordinarily powerful.
Yeah.
And I've also learned over the years that we, for a variety of reasons, we tend to, I don't know how to word this, sometimes diagnoses are not exactly, they're treating the symptom rather than the problem.
The underlying thing.
And we believe that, we, being me and Carol, believe that motor development is sequential, sensory development is sequential, development is sequential. And if we try to take children out of the regular sequence, they develop splinter skills.
Oh.
Do you know what splinters do?
It sounds like, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like adaptations.
Okay.
Like
splinter skills are really important thing in terms of development, motor development. Okay, so let's say that you cannot catch a ball.
Okay.
I can do two things.
I can if it's real big and it's real slow.
Well, then we can practice in the backyard. So if I practice with you in my backyard for 1 week, throwing the same blue ball at you, by the end of that week, you will be able to catch the blue ball. okay. because I've practiced that with you. Mm-hmm. Or I can say, she can't catch the blue ball. Is it because of her visual tracking? Is it because of her balance? Is it because of her eye-hand coordination? Is it because of her motor planning? Is it because of her spatial awareness? Is it because of her proprioception? Ooh. And then I never use a ball. I just figure out what underlying skills are needed for the ball. And then...
I just had an aha moment.
And then you will be able to catch a ball because all those other things will be there.
Oh, my goodness.
So one of the big, in my therapy, in my clinical practice, one of the big splinter skills was handwriting.
Okay.
So... they would teach these 3 and 4 year olds to write. 3 and 4 year olds are not ready to write. They're for a variety of reasons. Yeah. They don't have the laterality. They don't have the finger strength. They shouldn't be writing. They should be rolling down hills.
Yeah.
So
see, that's a sequential part that they're just not ready for.
So
yet.
In third grade, when you start to write for content, Johnny just can't do it. Right. So somebody says, well, Johnny's learning disabled. No, Johnny's not learning disabled. Well, he has fine motor control problems. No, he doesn't, because he can do Legos.
Yeah.
So he has auditory processing problems. No, he doesn't, because he can tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
So where's the problem? Well, writing did not come naturally to him because he didn't develop laterality. I have a chart in here, actually.
So right now,
Carol and I have put a chart together.
Joy's looking through the NSYNC Child book, looking for the chart.
Yeah, growing an NSYNC Child, but also in, okay, so here for instance, here's a prerequisite to catching a ball.
So page 27, prerequisites to catching a ball. Before a child can...
stand independently, she needs balance, which she will get by holding her head up, by creeping on all fours, by walking without support. So that's another one. Parents say, my child really wants to walk, so I'm going to hold her two hands and help her walk. That's not helping her.
She needs to be able to.
She needs to, when she's ready, when she has the balance and the laterality and the strength to stand up and walk, she'll walk. What you're doing by holding her two hands is depriving her of the opportunity to develop those.
And I think, too, just kind of recalling back, like it's almost like there's a sense of like, oh, look, my child's only 9 months old and they can already, but they skip the crawling stage because of this. And that's
horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's a lack of knowledge, I think.
Right. It is a lack of knowledge. And it's not, I hope I don't sound like I'm placing blame because it's,
we're
bombarded with things. But you know what I saw the other day? A potty that you can put, has a slot that you can put the iPad into so that the child, while he's learning to go on the potty, can look at an iPad, and I wanted to shoot myself. Yeah, I know. Oh, and there was another one. There's another one where when the baby's lying on her back and you're changing her diaper, you can put your phone here so the baby can look at it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a new world. Yeah. And I don't want to be a part of it.
Oh, gosh, it just felt like a tightness in my chest. I can't even fully kind of grasp that yet.
We have a Facebook page called NSYNC Child, and I invite all of your listeners to follow us. We repost lots of posters from brilliant people.
Yeah,
and
really good stuff. You had some of Robin Goble stuff on there.
Yeah, I have learned so much from things that I've reposted. But I recently reposted an article that said that in 50 years, we will all have robotic children. And I thought, I hope I'm dead by then, because some of our followers posted things like, well, this can help, you know, if you've lost a child, it can help with the healing process. And that doesn't sound healthy to me at all.
Oh, my goodness.
Having a robotic child?
Yeah.
So I can't think really. I suppose maybe in a nursing home with dementia patients, that might be a cool thing to give them. But I can't think of another way to do it. Somebody said it would be a good thing to give them to prospective parents so they can learn what parenting's really like.
That's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take. But it reminds me of something Carol told me. She said she saw an app that showed a child taking up an orange from one bowl and putting it someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, that doesn't teach anything. give the child a bowl with oranges. Yes. So the child can figure out how where that is in relation to himself. Yeah. He can figure out how far to reach. He can use the proprioception of moving it. He can develop the visual tracking.
Have the actual experience.
All of that stuff. Yeah.
Wow. And it's cheaper, actual orange in a bowl.
Maybe not anymore, but yeah.
Now, you mentioned visual tracking, and that's something, you know, I had the C-sections, and both of my kids had visual therapy for the tracking. So that's part of the primitive reflexes as
well? That could be, because tracking has a lot to do with the vestibular sense in the brain. And you have a problem with vestibular because you didn't go through, again, you didn't go through the birth canal. You're just lying in there, and then somebody takes you out, and you don't. So let me back up a minute.
In spatial
Whenever
awareness.
Whenever a child works to develop it, he owns it. But if you give it to him, it's not his. So that doctor took your baby out of your stomach and put him somewhere. I don't know. But he didn't do any of the work. So he didn't own any of that stuff. He didn't get the stretching, right, the vestibular, the proprioception, the squeezing. Oh. You know, but you think about the baby squeezing, getting all that squeezing. He didn't get that. Somebody took him out, and it's very similar to these car seat things that you put your baby in the car seat in this thing on the counter, and then you carry that baby in that thing into the car seat, mm-hmm. and then you take that thing out of the car seat and put the baby in the stroller, still in that container thing, and that baby hasn't done anything.
The baby's just the physically baby in a different spot.
Exactly. So the baby hasn't learned anything. The baby hasn't learned anything about how far to go. He hasn't developed any kind of near-far visual stuff. He hasn't learned anything about space. He hasn't done anything because you've done it for him.
Oh, my goodness, Joy. Oh, okay, so.
Boy, what's the matter?
I just had an aha moment.
Oh, good. I love aha moments.
There's in this child-parent relationship therapy training, they have this metaphor story about a butterfly. And a butterfly in the chrysalis, you know, the caterpillar in the chrysalis. And there's this amazing, like, good-hearted, kind soul that thinks, oh, that poor butterfly is struggling to get out. Oh, I'm just going to help him. I'm going to take this story. I don't know why it makes me feel emotional. But he takes little clippers and just enough little clippers so that the butterfly could just fall out and doesn't have to struggle. But that poor butterfly doesn't get the blood to its wings and it doesn't fly and it dies.
Struggle.
Yeah.
Struggling, you know, I think many of us adults think struggle is a bad word, and it's not always a bad word.
Oh, my gosh.
Children really need to learn how to work, how they learn, need to learn how to struggle.
They need to crawl,
they need to do it themselves. They need to fall and get up by themselves. And you'll find if your child falls, certainly in toddlerhood, probably 75% of the falls are not a big deal. They're just lack of balance. So I think one of the worst things you can do is say, oh, get up, you're all right.
Yeah.
You say to them, oh, I'm sorry that happened, or ignore it. And then if you ignore it, they just get back up and they don't know that it's...
Let them figure out how to get up. And
it's not a problem.
I think on so many levels, like we have so many falls. We have like physical falls, we have emotional falls, and we don't need somebody to either tell us it's all right and get up or even do it for us.
Well, definitely not do it for... Yeah, definitely not pick them up. But, you know, you said, my child really wants to walk. He really does. So I'm going to hold his hands. But... Your child doesn't. Your child is too young to know that he really wants to walk if you really want to think about it. He does not have the cognitive parts of his brain there to tell him that he wants to walk.
So the theme I'm hearing from you is let that natural process happen. Let's not interrupt it. Let's not try to make it easier.
Let's not try to, if you want to actively do something, then try to think of an environment in which to place your child where they will have to figure things out themselves.
If you go
to a park and you watch a little girl try to get out of the sandbox, if you get there at the right time, you can watch a child actually learn it. You know, you can think about letting your child climb into his own or her own car seat. And watch. Some children will just automatically know how to do it. But there's a lot involved with that. You have to figure out which foot to push with, which arm to pull with, how to turn your body. Now, they're not cognitively thinking that, but the only way they're going to learn it is by trying.
Yes.
Right? And you can watch your child do it. And if your child says, I can't, they can. I mean, you know, maybe there are some children that can't. Maybe they're too small. Maybe they're whatever. But don't do the whole thing for them. You know, just do a little for them. They have to own it. And that's why Carol and I developed. Yeah. I mean, all of our NSYNC literature is all about that. We have a lot of, our book, Growing an NSYNC Child, has a lot of theory, but also some activities. But we just published in hard copy A Year of Mini Moves for the NSYNC Child.
It's so cool. Mini moves. So every day there's a different something you can do with the child. That
every
helps.
Day. And they're really simple. Like on week 51 on Sunday, it says march sideways to something huge. Put both feet on it.
Oh, okay. Well, to something huge.
Okay, so what is that child learning? How to march. That's working on laterality, which you need for handwriting.
Right, left, right,
something
left.
Huge, you have to look. So you're using your visual track and you're using your visual system.
Yeah.
Get from there to here or from here to there. So they're working on spatial awareness to figure out how far.
And planning.
Put both your feet on it. They're working on body awareness. Because it's both feet, they're working on bilateral integration. Put your feet on it, they're working on proprioception.
Uh-huh.
So that little activity probably takes less than a minute to do, but you're getting stuff that you might get in an hour of OT.
Yeah.
You know, so each one on Monday, hold your hands together over your head. Pretend you're a candle. Slowly, slowly melt to the ground.
Ooh. So this is something I'm thinking can be used by parents, educators, anybody who's human.
Therapies.
And even if they're not children, they can do it later on in life. But I think about the practicality, the simplicity, and it doesn't sound like it involves materials that you have to...
doesn't involve any materials. It's fun. You can use this. It's funny, while we started this, Carol had in mind this was for a therapist or a school teacher. I had in mind this was for parents.
So it's for everybody.
For the kid that has a little bit of trouble getting out of bed, you have this and you say, okay, pick a page. Which one are we going to do now?
Choices.
Okay, today we're going to do this. Raise your eyebrows. Furrow your brow. Do that 11 times.
Oh my God,
okay,
fun.
I mean, there are things that are fun.
Well, if you do it together, so we think about polyvagal theory, the big thing with polyvagal theory is safety and connection. That raise your eyebrows, furrow your eyebrows. If you do that with the kid, there's this kind of connection.
And we're laughing, right?
Yeah,
both of us
laughing.
Laughed.
It's safe and connected.
We think there's a lot of laughter in our whole idea is that getting in sync is fun. It's not work. And I think in our society now, we are taught to set a goal and then work towards it.
Yeah.
And that's where we get our reward, when we achieve that goal. But child development is the opposite. You don't want to set a goal. They have to get there on their own. Child development is all about the journey, not about the end result.
Yeah, like letting that butterfly come out of the chrysalis.
Exactly.
Now, we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure people know where to go to find your books, the mini moves, like whatever you have to offer, your website.
Okay, our website is www.insyncchild, insyncchild.com. And there's all kinds of information about all of our publications. And our Facebook page is InSyncChild, and I welcome you to follow it. Please let me know if you're not getting the information you want on there. Or from our website, too, you can reach us. You can contact us. And what else did you want to know?
I think that's just wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much. I'll put all of those links in the show notes so you can just click on them and go straight to them. Joy, this has been an honor, not only having this conversation with you, but being able to spend this time with you. I really appreciate it. You are just a lovely, lovely human.
You know what? Thank you very much. Jackie has a very high opinion of me.
I do.
I'm not sure it's deserved, but I do love what I do, and you know you love what you do, and I think that's one of our connections.
We're vibing.
We just love what we do. It's not work. It's like our calling, right?
Yeah.
It's our calling, and I really get along much better with children than I do with adults.
And you get along with adults, at least I'm getting along with you pretty well. All right, well, you take care. I'll catch you later.
Thanks, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Bye.